1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have questions about your house, home, castle, or cabin, now is the time. And we have a special guest with us today, Roger Ramsey of Ewing Irrigation. If you've been thinking about outdoor lighting, have questions about it, or frustrated with your existing setup, we have the man in the studio to help answer and talk you through the right situation for your particular home.
In particular, we're talking about how the new technology is allowing LED bulbs and systems to literally take over the outdoor landscaping lighting arena because of its low maintenance. Roger, why don't you share with the listeners your illustration in comparison to a cell phone?
Okay. I get asked on a regular basis, can I put these LED retrofit lamps in my existing halogen system? I'm frustrated and I'm fed up with the lamp issues, the varying light outputs, and I just wanted to put something in that's going to last for years rather than weeks. And my response to that is you have to understand that LED is an electronic light form, okay? So that one of the enemies of LED lighting is moisture. It's probably the number one enemy that I see out in the field all the time, even here in Arizona. So I use the analogy of the cell phone. Would you take your cell phone and put your cell phone in that fixture? So what you need to do is do a quick site evaluation, look at the fixtures that are there, determine how much grit, grime, bugs, dirt, and such are inside of the fixtures, and especially moisture.
Whoa.
If you have that stuff in that fixture, it's probably not a good candidate for an LED retrofit. However, if the inside of the fixtures are nice and clean and the fixture's doing an adequate job protecting the lamp that's in there now from moisture and from out in the exterior environment, then yes, you could probably go in there with an LED product.
Now, not everyone has LED, or a lot of people that have existing landscape lighting, just like Irene, may have a different situation. So let's bring her in from Sun Lakes and see what we can help talk her through at her home. Irene, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Irene.
Oh, I finally got you. Well, I've got an old lighting system. We had it put in maybe around 82 when we built out here.
Okay.
My light bulbs keep burning out, and I keep replacing them. And when I replace them, I can't put the prongs way down and say, you know, the two little prongs
yes.
that come up and you put your bulb in.
Yes, ma'am.
And all. And when I put them all the way down, they go out. And I can only, like, maybe put them halfway with those, that two little
I understand.
Things on, you know what I'm talking about?
This?
The two little sides connect with those
yes.
prongs.
All right, Irene, let's see what Roger can coach you through here. What do you think?
I'd like to ask you a question. How long have you had the car you're driving right now?
Yeah, since 82.
Your car, the automobile you drive? You haven't had that since 82, have you? Here's my question. Here's my point. You have a 30-year-old lighting system out in your landscape right now. It's exposed to the environments, the heat, the cold, the rain, the water, everything else. I initially would tell you that the predominant reason for premature lamp burnout is excessive voltage, having more than 12 volts in. You could easily have a contractor or someone that you know come over and take a voltage reading at that fixture. However, it sounds to me like the socket's worn out, the lamp just won't make good contact with the electrical wire itself. I would say the infrastructure's probably compromised after 30 years of being in the ground. I would recommend considering investing in a new lighting system. And as you move forward into a new lighting system, think about using LED product, or you don't have to maintain, because those sockets wear out every time you change those lamps, and they're only spring loaded, and those springs wear out based on the heat and the time factor of being in the ground. So my recommendation would be first take a voltage reading to make sure that you don't have excessive voltage at the lamp, but more importantly, consider investing into a new system.
Irene, we appreciate the call. That opens up a line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We have a little bit of letters from listeners segment this week, looking at what has come in at rosieonthehouse.com. That's R-O-S-I-E on thehouse.com. Chris writes in and says he's got a home, 85, not that much older than or newer than Irene's, and he received a notice from this home warranty company about getting his water line from his home to the meter insured for $60 a year. He says, is this worth it? I will say my neighbor had his main blow a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of considering this investment. I will say, generally speaking, Rosie on the House is not a fan of a over-warrantied, over-insured. I mean, if you really added up and calculated how much we spend on warranties and extended warranties and insurance, I would add a pretty big bottom line to a savings account that you could use for any problems instead of spending money building other people's savings account hoping you don't have a problem. But I will say for $60 a year, that might not be
A lot of the cities are really encouraging it.
You know, my biggest warning to that, though, is don't go in at $60 and then let them all of a sudden work you up to $300. You know, that might be a foot in the door to get you built up to a whole lot more.
The $60 warranty is just to alert you when your pipe is broke. Oh, to fix it, that was another policy. We are not big believers in insurance, that's for sure. We, if anything, the Romero,
well,
the
homeowner's insurance, you kind of
the Romero's probably underinsured, but that's the way we roll. Yeah. So
home warranties and stuff like that and additional coverage, but I think homeowner's insurance, as every homeowner knows, you have to have to keep your mortgage. So that's another topic. And I just wanted to make sure. I know you didn't mean that, but I was just putting that out there to avoid the 20 emails we were going to have to answer saying, that's not what Rosie meant. He wasn't talking about homeowner's insurance. He's talking about additional warranty services. Not a big fan.
You're doing the digital newsroom right now. Am I off base or like were we just slammed this week? Man, it seemed like we had like a swelling of input. As a matter of fact, there were several carpet manufacturer reps that wanted to talk to Rosie based on his comments last week.
When he got on the soapbox, we had Larry Houtman from Houtman's Floor Covering came in the office yesterday and said, I'm taking Rosie's soapbox. Where is it? Now, it wasn't necessarily the vacuum every day and twice a day manufacturer recommended. That is. It was some of the cleaning suggestions. But we'll save that for another time. We had Marshall contact Desert Sun Heating and Cooling and both Cooper Painting, and that's significant because those are fairly new members of the Rosie on the House Network and a brand new market, and I wanted to take the opportunity to mention, if you live in Casa Grande,
Coolidge, Florence,
Elgin,
Eloy, Florence, any of those.
I meant Eloy, not Elgin.
Yeah, any of those Pinal County communities.
We have a list of Rosie certified contractors there for you. When you go to rosieonthehouse.com, just click Casa Grande. Now, there's something that you won't see. Right now, you see Phoenix, Tucson, Northern Arizona, and Casa Grande. Very soon when you go there, it's going to be alphabetized, and it's also going to include Sedona. Right now, it's clumped in with Northern Arizona. Well, that's going to change to Prescott, and then we'll have Sedona and Flagstaff as we continue to expand and grow.
When can we get the White Mountains covered? Because I'd like to be the sales rep on that region.
And we'll also have Green Valley in that list as well. We are building a Sholo. It won't be live yet, but you'll have a Sholo White Mountain selection very soon. It's all
I want that office.
I'll flip a coin for you with it. And finally, John writes in, this is a question we've kind of haven't addressed in a long time, but still one of the top questions of all time at Rosie on the House. Any ideas? One of the top questions in the last 10 years?
Water stain on drywall.
No, has nothing to do with home improvement.
Crawfish festival.
Yep. Keep your ear to the ground and your nose to the wind, John. Details coming soon.
Oh, really?
Let's get back to our calls here. We have Steve in Oral Valley wants to talk about one of our favorite products in the world, concrete. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the program. Oh, man, he must have gotten a little sleepy.
He's doing some outdoor landscaping. He's got some questions revolving around the interface between concrete pavers and concrete.
Steve, are you with us, Steve?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Gentlemen, what I have is I've installed a concrete paver type of patio in my backyard in December. At the home improvement store, they suggested I use a premix concrete type of product to put in between the cracks and then just wet it down to seal it in there. I did that and tried to keep as much of the residue off the pavers as I could. However, it still got some residue on there. I have wire brushed it. I've washed it with muriatic acid. I've done everything I can, and I still have this residue that's on the pavers, and it looks really dull and really ugly. And I'm just wondering if there's another thing I can do to try and get this stuff off and make the pavers look good.
Well, I'm glad Roger's here as a rep of outdoor products. I'm not sure, and Steve, just stay with us here because I want you to chime in as I misinterpreted maybe what you said. We've got a interlocking paver down that you brushed dry cement into the cracks?
Is it polymeric sand?
It was a premix, and it wasn't an interlocking paver. These are just the really inexpensive concrete pavers you can get at a home improvement store.
And then...
Not interlocking, but they sold this premix to me. They said, this is what we use when you want to put down pavers and you want to make them permanent. And so I put it in, I swept the stuff all over, and then I wetted it down. And the result was I've just got this terrible residue that I can't get rid of.
Do you have a bag of that product available? Can you tell me what is it polymeric sand or is it a cementitious grout mortar product?
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to ask me that question because I did it in December. I didn't save the bag.
Oh, okay.
It was a product I got at the home improvement store.
Okay.
It was recommended by them to do this job, and it was a mix.
Okay, stay tuned, Steve. We're going to answer your question right after this quick break. We've got we're going to cogitate on this during the break and come back and give you your answer. You stay tuned, as well as Bill, Randy, and Doug. We're all back for you very shortly, right after this.